Gregory this hour at WXRT, as we've taken quite a few of your requests. And if you have more, keep calling. The Who with Gwen. Charlie Meyerson is trying to make some sense.
Projections based on exit polls and other arcane methodology. Harold Washington stands to win this election, 55% to 44% for Bernard Epton. As Neil Parker reports from Washington headquarters at Donnelly Hall on Chicago's South Side, they are pretty optimistic over there.
Charlie, Donnelly is filling up here. We've got two bands cooking, and it's awfully tough to hear you. I hope you're picking me up. Indeed, Washington aides at this moment are speaking in purely optimistic terms about the early returns and their exit polls. I just spoke a few minutes ago with Renault Robinson, one of the early and more higher up Washington aides.
Well, the exit polls have show us up around 55%, and that's based on the computer projections that we've gotten from early returns from the precinct operation and returns that we've gotten for Democratic ward committees. It seems that those figures are going to hold. They may very well increase, but we won't know for another 45 minutes to an hour what the actual numbers are going to be outside of the percentages that we've got right now. But the exit polls in the black community are 98%. On the lakefront, they're up 40%. Northwest, middle of the city, we're doing very well.
North Shore, North Side, Lakeshore is pretty much 40%, and that's what you said you needed.
Right, that's right, absolutely.
Now, Charlie, that pretty much says it. We've spoken with other aides who are giving similar information, and they're rather optimistic. We may even see candidate Washington within an hour, hour and a half, we hear, but that's a little bit up in the air. We'll check back with you a little bit later.
Thank you, Neil. Projections from the networks and projections from politicians aside, we may not have the real figures for some time because the 17th precinct in the 27th ward on the west side opened late. The court has ordered polls there to stay open until 9. The elections board apparently will not be releasing any figures until after then. No official results, although you may see some other figures floating around. Those are based on exit polls and projections and the like. The final results probably won't be available, they say, maybe until midnight. The dean of the Northwest Side, Alderman Roman Paczynski, who's been working for Epton, says based on the turnout he's heard of along the liberal lakefront, he too thinks Washington may win.
If indeed the large vote occurred in the lakefront, as we've been led to believe, then I think it's going to be a very tight race, but it would appear that perhaps that Mr. Washington will squeeze through by I'm not sure what kind of a margin. But it would seem to me that if indeed the voting was as heavy, the IVI and the IPO had worked very hard for Mr. Washington. It would seem to me that it's entirely possible they could provide the balance of power.
Marge Halperin is spending the evening at Epton headquarters, and she's with us live on the line. Marge, what's up?
Well, Charlie, that ABC projection took everyone here off guard, coming just as the polls closed at 7. Cook County Republican Chairman Bob Barr admits that Washington could win, but he says there's no way to know this early in the evening. Barr is definitely pulling for Epton, but he also knows that if he wins, rather that he wins whether Epton does or not.
Regardless of what happens here, we've seen a resurgence of interest in the Republican Party. I've noticed that. We have Republicans coming forward and expressing a real interest in getting active in the party, and that's what we need.
All along, this campaign has gotten tremendous media coverage, as you well know. Tonight is no exception. There are more than 100 reporters here from as far away as Germany and France. The networks are all here, of course, as are the wire services, including the international service Reuters. Until recently, there were more reporters than campaign workers here, but that changed as soon as the band struck up. From the Palmer House, I'm Marge Halperin.
Thank you, Marge. We'll have another report for you in an hour, around 9 o'clock, maybe with an update before then, if there's some more information available. Until then, I remain, and probably still be then, Charlie Meyerson.
Oh, they sure play square music at campaign headquarters, don't they?
Well, Republican campaign headquarters, yeah. I think they have a reputation along those lines.
We've got to do something about that. Good report. Good to we'll be working with you. Be seeing you again in an hour. Right, Charlie?
You said it.
All right. WXRT Chicago. region for the moolah there. That's the Flying Lizards with a song that was originally a Motown song and then popularized by the Beatles and other people, too. That's Money. Also in their Doors doing a song co-written by two blues legends, Willie Dixon and Chester Burnett, a.k.a. Howlin' Wolf. It's a backdoor man. We got a newsman to my right that should be your left, Charlie Meyerson right here, WXRT Chicago. Fill us in.
The poll is closed now in the last of the city's wards. Open the 27th ward, where one precinct stayed open a couple of hours late because it opened a couple of hours late this morning. The Chicago Elections Board is now just getting around to releasing the first of its normal numbers formally, although we have been getting some numbers unofficially. Those figures show leads for Bernard Epton, big leads, as you might expect, for City Clerk Walter Kozubowski and City Treasurer Cecil Partee. Epton's lead, as reported so far by various sources, networks, and the City News Bureau, is dropping as the evening goes on, a full percent the last couple of hours, so that Epton leads about 55% to 45%, with about 26% of the vote counted through those unofficial channels. The caution is that we don't know where those votes are coming from, and that can make all the difference. Black wards, where Harold Washington probably will do the best, tend to come in more slowly, and a good bet is that this race will turn out a lot closer than it looks to be now. Neil Parker is at the Washington headquarters, where this past hour, campaign spokesman Al Raby has come down to talk to reporters. Neil is with us live.
Charlie, Al Raby is admitting to us reporters that the situation wouldn't even be as close as it is now if, for whatever reason, Washington hadn't picked up ground, significant ground, in the final days of the campaign. Despite all that, despite the fact he admits it is likely to be rather close, Al Raby is predicting victory, pretty much claiming victory for Harold Washington.
Well, one of the things that one tries to do is to control the environment so that one peaks at the proper time. We had to counteract the personal attacks on Harold, we had to deal with the girlish rumors that were circulated. This has been the Nancy campaign possible. What I think happened is simply people got tired of hearing it, found Epton to be without any real program for Chicago, without any capacity to give any leadership. And when that became clear, the vote started to turn around.
And, Charlie, it's a rather festive mood here. State Senator Dick Newhouse, a Washington aide, took the podium a short time ago, basically telling people, hold tight, have a good time, drink a beer. And we don't know quite what's happening yet, and we don't know when we're going to know more. So things are kind of on hold here, rather upbeat, plenty of music, and plenty of beer. No candidate, however.
Neil, can you hear me? I know it's kind of loud there. Can I put a quick question to you?
I think I can hear you.
All right. Are they charging for beer there tonight?
You better believe it. As a matter of fact, I think it's something like $1.75 or $2 a beer. And I think 50 cents of every beer, we're told, is going back into the Washington campaign.
Thank you very much, Neil. Marge Halperin is at Epton headquarters, where the mood downstairs is being buoyed, she says, by the positive numbers they're picking up on the TV screens. Marge, what's going on?
Charlie, this is the hour of limbo. Epton's aides are tossing around those favorite phrases like, we're cautiously optimistic and it's looking good, but there aren't enough numbers available yet to say anything really solid. The press aides insist publicly that the mood is upbeat in Epton's private suite upstairs, but off the record, one friend of the Epton family told me that the mood is somber there. Epton is huddling in a bedroom with his top advisors going over the figures they're getting from precinct workers. I passed Mrs. Epton in the hallway outside the suite a little while ago. She was joking with friends and laughing as usual, but had nothing to say. So if the Epton camp knows anything that we don't know, they aren't saying, and it'll probably be some time before we see the candidate himself. From the Palmer House, I'm Marge Halperin.
One more question before you go, Marge, if you can hear me. We ask Neil, what are they charging for beer at Epton headquarters?
Well, I haven't had one, and I'm not sure, but the Cokes are $1, so I'll bet the beers are at least $2.
Steeper than that. Well, okay, thanks. We'll be hearing, I should say, both from Neil and Marge later on. We're seeing the first results from the suburbs on the idea of creating a citizens' utility board. Paid lobbyists to challenge utility rate hike requests. It's on the ballot as an advisory referendum in 41 Chicago suburbs, overwhelmingly approved by Chicago voters in November. So far, the idea is doing pretty well in at least two suburbs. In the village of Stickney, 70 votes in favor, 4 votes against. Small totals, but these are the suburbs. In the village of Forest View, 265 votes in favor of a citizens' utility board, 18 votes against. In a referendum in the village of North Riverside, it looks as if voters are in favor of creating a public library district. It's 1,104, 980 against. quick point of interest, Bobby, in today's Tribune Astrology column, the prediction for Harold Washington's sign, Aries, is charm and style bring benefits and privileges just for the asking. For Bernard Epton's sign, Virgo, it says, don't assume responsibility until you're sure you can effect change. But in the Sun-Times horoscope forecast, the Virgo forecast is, you're close to pay dirt. I guess the question is, how close? And maybe we'll have an answer for you at 10 o'clock.
Charlie, that astrology is music to my ears. Way to get to the issues there.
We do our best.
I knew you had it in you. All righty. All righty. This is WXRT. We'll catch your act at 9, okay?
10.
10, will, 10 it'll be.
It's my name.
It was 14 years ago that Pink Floyd recorded that single, It Would Be So Nice. And it would be so nice to see you here in the Rock and Roll Vault next time. Come on back. Till then, this is Dave Herman. Bye.
Gosh, Charlie, he's cordial, isn't he?
I think he's a nice guy.
Ditto. We'll do the lotto, and then we'll get some election results. Bang, 10 o'clock, WXRT Chicago. Winning number in the daily game is 359, pick four game 7029. Charlie, you have a whole different type of numerical breakdown
yes,
for us.
Yes, would that our numbers were as conclusive as yours are. Situation now is that the numbers are coming in slowly from areas where Harold Washington is supposed to be doing strong. And so the official, unofficial figures we're getting from the Chicago Elections Board via the City News Bureau of Chicago show Bernard Epton leading Harold Washington. This is with 53% of the vote in and counted unofficially. Epton leading 52% to 48% for Harold Washington. But the Epton lead over the last hour or two has been dwindling. It was something like 55-45% last hour, as those tallies begin to come in from the pro-Washington areas, the near northwest side wards, the south side, the west side wards, and the lakefront has been relatively slow to come in, too. So far, ABC is predicting a Washington victory, but it is alone in that prediction as of now. At the Palmer House, the Epton campaign leadership seems to be snubbing reporters. Marge Halperin is there and has a live report from the Palmer House.
Charlie, that is true. I'll get to that in a minute. While you've been speaking, there have been big cheers in the room here. The television station's given us the latest figures, even newer, I think, than you had. 68% of the vote now in, with 58% for Epton and 42% for Washington. That latest word was good news. The cheers were loud and long here. Back to the bad news for reporters. As you said, it appears that Mr. Epton is getting his revenge on the media, which he has claimed all along treated his campaign unfairly. He's refusing all media interviews but one. He talked to a TV reporter that he says has been fair. Pleas from the rest of us are being ignored. I did talk, though, to Epton's transition chief, Ann Lucene, who likes what she's been seeing in the early returns.
Very good. Remarkably good. I couldn't imagine that there was would be about a 1.4 million turnout. I understand it's going about 88% of the registered voters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Bernie is doing remarkably well in a lot of wards that we thought we would not do all that well in. So I'm very pleased.
So Lucene may have a job in front of her. She says that till now she's been having some trouble putting together her transition team for Epton. At first, she says, she had only a few volunteers. But in the past week or so, when Epton's chances seemed to be improving, Lucene says she got more volunteers, but few of them would let her use their names, just in case Epton loses. But Lucene says that she'll have her pick if and when Epton is declared winner. She expects a team of 75 to 100, about the same size that Washington has put together. From the Palmer House, I'm Marge Halperin.
Thank you, Marge. Even though they're speaking optimistically at the Epton headquarters, they're also optimistic at Harold Washington's headquarters at Donnelly Hall on the south side. Neil Parker is there.
Charlie, Washington campaign manager Al Raby continues to predict victory by a substantial margin. Now, one might otherwise suggest that the necessarily optimistic rhetoric of the campaign manager, were it not for the fact that at just about this point on primary night 6 weeks ago, Raby was predicting victory, and the situation was close then, certainly as close then as it is now. So he gained some credibility then, and you've got to consider the fact that they do have substantial exit polls, which do account for their optimism.
I still believe we're going to win by 56 to 44. So there's some indication that it may be a little closer than that, but I am confident that we're going to win.
Candidate Washington is next door to Donnelly Hall, where I am, in a suite at the McCormick Inn. Charlie, the party continues here rather loudly, as you probably hear, and it'll probably be some time until we see Harold Washington.
Thank you, Neil. Regardless of what happens in the mayor's race, the old order apparently will changeth at City Hall. Two aldermen have conceded in their races against challengers, Alderman John Marson on the northwest side in the 35th Ward, admitting defeat at the hands of Joseph Kotlars, Jr. Alderman Ivan Rittenberg, one of the first aldermen to support Bernard Epton, is admitting defeat at the hands of Patrick O'Connor in the 40th Ward. One other challenger is claiming victory, Bobby Rush in the 2nd Ward, over Alderman William Barnett, although Barnett has not conceded, and challenger Tom Savage, apparently leading the Finance Committee Chairman Wilson Frost, is scheduled to make some kind of statement this hour at his headquarters on the south side. On the southwest side, incumbent Alderman Aloysius Majerzik is declaring victory over challenger Ted Swinarski. No concession speech from Swinarski yet. And in the races for city clerk and city treasurer, the incumbents are leading handily. Treasurer Cecil Partee, clerk Walter Kozubowski, both seem headed toward another term in office. Briefly, in Morton Grove, where the handgun ban seemed to be a major campaign issue, the three incumbent village trustees, two of whom voted in favor of that ban, are winning. Each has more than 5,000 votes, while none of the other challengers, has more than 3,500 votes. One of those challengers is suing Morton Grove for enacting the ban. Looks like a mixed verdict on that handgun question up in Morton Grove. We'll be back at 11 o'clock, unless we're back sooner, with some more conclusive word on how the mayor's race is going.
All righty, you'll be back with Johnny Mars. Right now, we're just about to swing into the National Lampoon Radio Hour right here, WXRT Chicago. Thank you, Charlie.
The world's weekly wait is over. Like magic, an invisible chain of sound once more circles the planet. The National Lampoon Radio Hour is ready again to girdle the globe with giggles.
This is London standing by. Come in, please. National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Nicht verschmolzen ihr Heiben, das Berlinen. Wir warten auf Gespräch-Bieten, Sazonkeke-Hauben, bei Schleuenfein-Kräben der National Lampoon Radio.
Moskau. Did it was Movishny National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Le Campagne du Paris. L'affaire protège belle du National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Come in, please. National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Akai Shimbum Saka, I take a National Lampoon Radio Hour.
This is Calcutta standing by.
Nos escuchamos a Buenos Aires.
Lampoon Radio Hour.
Tenemos este National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Come in, please. National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Our worldwide network is ready, and here in New York City, the cast and crew of the National Lampoon Radio Hour are in their places. The orchestra leader has raised his baton. So, Mr. Engineer, will you pull the master switch?
Oh, no, not again. Due to technical difficulties, the National Lampoon Radio Hour returns you to your local station where a commercial is already in progress.
When it comes to music and more, you'll flip over Flipside. And now Flipside is the place where you can enter the golden age of price reduction as they celebrate the opening of the newest Flipside at Dempster and Waukegan Roads in Morton Grove. Every item in every store is reduced, including the new one from Thomas Dolby, the golden age of wireless, on EMI Records. Flipside will make you see the light with $4.99 LP or tape for Thomas Dolby.
I can smell the chemicals.
Pick up Thomas Dolby's Golden Age of Wireless at any Flipside.
Science.
During the celebration of the newest Flipside and Ticketron outlet in Morton Grove on Dempster and Waukegan Roads. And while you're there, register to win a Commodore VIC-64 computer system, remote and plug-in telephones, and more Golden Age of Wireless products. No purchase necessary, because when it comes to music and more, you'll flip over Flipside.
You're listening to the National Lampoon Radio Hour on 93 WXRT Chicago.
And now...
Leon Russell, riding that thin rope, the tight rope. We play songs about elevation, up and down. You can call me Otis Mars if you like. Bottoming out was Lou Reed, Yardbirds with over, under, sideways, down. Men at work who come from the land down under where they have Vegemite sandwiches and things like that. And the birds, 8 miles high. More to come. We've got plenty of suggestions. We also have Charlie Meyerson in the studio right now to give us an update on the election. Charlie?
The race, by most of the figures we've seen, is neck and neck, but Harold Washington does seem to be pulling just a slight edge. Now, these are based on the raw numbers, the unofficial totals we're getting from the City News Bureau of Chicago. Ultimately, they're coming from the Chicago Elections Board, but they are still unofficial and won't be official totals for several days. This may be a race that we won't know the final results from for several days. Here's the way it stands as best we can tell you. 75% of the vote in. Harold Washington, 51%, almost 52% of the vote. Bernard Epton, a little less than 48% of the vote. There's a margin between them of something like 30,000 votes, a little less than 30,000 votes as I look at it here. At Bernard Epton's headquarters, Epton followers are quite pleased about some of the figures they have just heard. Marge Halperin is with us live on the line.
Charlie, we just got some figures from key precincts that were told to us by Pete Peters. He's a state representative from the Northwest side who has been one of Epton's advisors, who has been huddling with Epton going over figures the past hour. Peters says that he has seen 83% of the precincts reporting. He says Epton is holding on to 54% of the vote to Washington's 46%. But he does not have a breakdown on where those votes are. And as you've been saying through the evening, that, of course, is the key. But Peters does have some interesting news from crucial lakefront wards.
We were going to get clobbered in this one, 42nd ward. 14,889 for Epton. 12,492 for Walsh. 43rd Ward. 43rd Ward. People said, be lucky if Bernie gets 30% of the vote in the 43rd Ward. We're three precincts short. 43rd Ward, Bernie Epton, 19,058 votes. Harold Washington, 10,498.
And that one is a painful one for Washington, no doubt. The 43rd Ward is the heart of the lakefront. Independent Dean Martin Overman's ward. Overman has been campaigning heavily for Washington there, and that's a rough figure for them to swallow, no doubt, to that. Peters is clearly optimistic at this point, but he says the night is still young, and he expects this one to go down to the wire. From the Palmer House, I'm Marge Halperin.
I think Neil Parker has the flip side of that same angle of this whole story. Neil is at Harold Washington's headquarters on the south side, where the optimistic attitude there from earlier this evening is beginning to show a few cracks. Neil?
Charlie, it's interesting. Marge talked about the 43rd Ward, Marty Overman's territory, because we spoke to him about a half an hour ago. Our question, simply put, was, Alderman, are you worried? And he simply said, yes, we're worried. He didn't elaborate. He didn't really have good, hard figures to work with. But although the 43rd Ward, his ward, was going fairly strong for Harold Washington for a white ward, he still said, you know, it's awfully close across the north side, and that the kind of margin they were looking for north side may or may not be there. It's that close, and that accounts for the closeness of the overall count so far across the city. The Washington aides here at Donnelly Hall remain optimistic based on the theme, the theory that the outstanding vote, the uncounted vote, is largely a south side vote. That would, of course, be Harold Washington territory. And so they remain optimistic, although that optimism has, as you put it, been cracked somewhat by the closeness of the figures with as many votes as are now counted.
Thank you, Neil. I think we should point out again that the numbers that everyone here is talking about are preliminary, and I think in most cases, no one's quite sure where the uncounted votes are. 75% of the vote in Washington, 52%, Epton, 48%. If those precincts yet unreported are from primarily black areas, Washington could pull away and take this in a matter of minutes. If they are from lakefront areas, which could go either way, or from the northwest, southwest sides, or other areas where Bernard Epton is probably going to run strongest, this could be a real horse race, and it could prove to be a victory for Epton. We should know, at the rate these returns are coming in, we should have a result perhaps by midnight. Another Chicago City Council incumbent bites the dust. Alderman Robert Shaw from the far south side's 9th Ward is conceding. He says it looks as if the people of that ward have a new alderman. Insurance agent Perry Hutchinson, with the endorsement of Harold Washington, is leading that race. Shaw will be leaving the council with some colleagues, Alderman John Marson from the northwest side, Ivan Rittenberg from the north side. Both have conceded defeat to their challengers, independents replacing machine Democrats on the city council. In the southwest village of LaGrange Park, voters apparently are going to say no to a referendum that would ban the sale of alcoholic beverages and would allow only the sale of beer with a very small alcohol content. Voters in the village of Flossmoor have apparently rejected a similar proposal to the south. The move to create a citizens' utility board is gaining ground tonight. In advisory referenda, in several suburbs, it has been approved by huge margins. Oak Lawn, Hillside, Streamwood, Forest View, Richton Park, Stickney. Up in Evanston to the north, one of Mayor Lytle's biggest critics, Alderman Jack Korshak, apparently has defeated his opponent, George Mackey, soundly. The big issue at Evanston this year, the budget. The city's had to cut funds by almost $3 million, and now that the city's 3% utility tax has been ruled unconstitutional by the Illinois Supreme Court. Basketball note, Johnny, before I take leave of you for another hour or so, the Kansas City Kings beat the Bulls at the stadium 112-102. The seventh straight loss for the Bulls, tying their longest losing streak of
the
season.
But the Cubs did win today, as I understand it?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Well, things are looking up.
Slowly but surely.
Well, they're looking up musically here. We'll see you in an hour.
It's a deal.
Or maybe even earlier. Things are looking up musically here at WXRT as we elevate you tonight. The People's Choice, WXRT Chicago. Deep in the South, the Atlanta Rhythm Section with Sky High here at WXRT and Sly and the Family Stone. Boom shagalagalaga, they're taking you higher. Charlie Meyerson has rejoined us in the studio with some late developments on the election.
The latest figures, as I mentioned about 17 minutes ago, show Washington in the lead, but that's with only about three-quarters of the vote in.
Mm-hmm.
At Bernard Epton's headquarters, Mr. Epton has just come down to talk to his followers, and the indication is, apparently, he has some numbers that are considerably more optimistic for him. Marge Halpern is with us live. What happened, Marge?
Charlie, Epton told the cheering crowd here that it's still too early for a victory speech, but he came as close as he could to claiming victory, saying that with more than 90% of the vote in, less than 5,000 votes separate the two candidates. Now, that may not sound very encouraging to you, but it sure does to Epton.
I know that my opponent is probably a lot more nervous right now than I am. I wish that I could come down here and read an acceptance speech to you, but it's early. We still have time. I hope you'll wait. I'm not going home. My wife isn't going home. And I think that I've been in touch with the Board of Elections, and they right now have us no further than 5,000 votes apart. As a matter of fact, as it stands, we think that most of the outstanding wards are our wards.
But we don't know that for sure at this point, Charlie. There's no breakdown from Epton's figures. We don't know what wards have been counted and what wards have not. Still, Epton apparently knows something to make him feel good. He told the crowd that when he finally leaves this hotel, they'll see the next mayor of Chicago. Yet when he left, he said, keep smiling, keep praying, and keep waiting, and he promises he'll be down fairly soon with what he thinks will be an acceptance speech. So the mood is upbeat now. I know that Bobby made a crack earlier in the evening about the square music down here. The music has gotten a lot hipper and a lot more upbeat in the last hour or so.
Thank you, Marge. Johnny, if there are developments before midnight, we'll be back before then. Otherwise, that's next when you'll...
Sounds like a swinging time down there.
Yeah.
Up-tempo stuff. All right, we'll see you as soon as we see you. This is WXRT Chicago. We've been up. Let's get down now.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like...
Her doctors recommend most.
Feeling better?
Headaches gone, thanks to Anacin 3.
Look for the money-saving Anacin 3 coupon in your Sunday newspaper. Anacin 3, 100% aspirin-free. Use only as directed.
You can learn CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, April 18th and 21st at the Evangelical School of Nursing. That's in Oak Lawn. To register, call 857-5185. Charlie, what's going on?
Well, just a few minutes ago, we had Mr. Epton coming down telling his supporters that it looked good for him. And now we have a report from Neil Parker at Washington headquarters that not Mr. Washington himself, but one of his top supporters has come down and given a similar message to Washington's fans. Neil, give us the details.
Charlie, in a response to Epton's statement of a few minutes ago, the Washington camp sent State Senator Richard Newhouse to the podium to tell this ever-growing crowd it's going to be a tight one, as he put it, and possibly a late night.
Our projections as of half an hour ago, with the votes having come in at 75% of the total, our projection is that of the wards left to come in, we will command a substantial majority of those wards. It's going to be a tight race, folks. But we'll take 23,000 votes. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Charlie, Richard Newhouse says Harold Washington won't make an appearance here until more votes are counted and a clearer picture develops, and clearly that could be some time, Charlie.
Thank you, Neil. We'll be back at noon, midnight. 12 o'clock is noon to me. 87% of the vote in. Our latest figures show Harold Washington with something on the order of an 80,000 vote margin. That could go either way. We have some indication that some of the precincts that are out are unclassifiable. Some of them are in heavy Epton territory, some of them are in heavy Washington category.
Weren't there a few, two, or at least one in particular that was told to stay open until 9 o'clock? Something
I think that's back in the picture now. I don't really think that's a consideration. That was on the west side where you might expect Washington to run pretty heavily, pretty well. Hard to say. Washington's leading, but his margin is nothing to write home about. And I don't know that he's jotting any memos yet. So
we'll
see.
Nip and tuck all the way through. All right, you'll be back.
At noon or midnight.
Noon or midnight,
comes first.
Right. Okay, it's time now to pick another category for the People's Choice. Longer fanfare than I thought. But anyway, it's over, and the category songs we're looking for now pertaining to the senses: seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. Any songs you can think of, 777-8881. Make your suggestion, and we'll get those together and get them on the air in a few minutes. Right now, this is Donald Fagen at WXRT. That's Heart to WXRT. Little Queen, we heard Led Zeppelin from Houses of the Holy, The Cure, and a current song of theirs called Let's Go to Bed, and Donald Fagen, IGY. It's 12 o'clock midnight, straight up, and this is WXRT Chicago. We've been collecting songs about the senses, and we'll start playing them after Charlie tells us more about the election.
87% of the vote in. Those are our latest figures. Washington leads Epton 53%, 47%, 65,000 votes between the two candidates. Neil Parker's with us live from Washington headquarters to report that at least some of those votes uncounted are suspect.
Charlie, State Senator Richard Newhouse took the podium about 10 minutes ago to announce that ballots from the 15th and 16th wards on the south and southwest side never arrived at a school on South Rockwell Avenue where they were to be collected and then transferred downtown to the Board of Elections. This is Senator Newhouse.
We have notified the U.S. Attorney's Office. We have notified the U.S. Marshal's Office. This is not to alarm you, just to let you know what's going on and that we're on top of it. We're all right, folks. Just bear with us. Thank you very much.
Now, Charlie, to try to put those questionable ballots in some perspective, what we know is that with about 75% of the vote from many wards in, only about 10 precincts out of roughly 60 in the 15th ward are in. Only about 14 from the 16th ward are in. So clearly, according to the Board of Elections, there's been some kind of holdup in those two south and southwest side wards. Now, Richard Newhouse said before he made this latest statement that of the wards left to come in, Washington, in his view, will command a substantial majority. And that, he says, Washington should win the race by about 23,000 votes. But I think it's fair to say that the Washington people are being very cautious at this point. They pretty much put things on hold, and we don't expect to hear too much more for a little while, because a lot of votes are still outstanding.
Thank you, Neil. By the way, I think it's worth mentioning there's another ward on the southwest side, the 13th ward, where we have fewer than 10 precincts in, out of, on the average, 60 precincts per ward. So on the southwest side, some problems, some questions that have yet to be answered. Marge Halperin is with us live now from Epton headquarters. Marge, there's a report going around that Channel 2, well, Channel 2, I should say, is the outlet that is reporting that Bernard Epton has gone home. Have you heard anything like that?
No, Charlie, I don't know that he's gone home. He is supposedly on his way down here to the ballroom at the Palmer House to talk to his supporters. What he'll say, we don't know yet, but I doubt that he's going home before he speaks to us first. As Epton did leave his suite, though, headed down here just a few minutes ago, and he apparently told a reporter who was waiting there, it looks grim, but his aides cleared the way by saying, make way for the mayor. So it's still apparently very close. It was less than an hour ago that Epton came down to all but announce a victory. He said he thought the remaining wards were his. He said it was early to tell, but he thought that the next mayor of Chicago was here. The crowds were cheering and very excited. Epton said he had seen more than 90% of the vote, and with less than 5,000 votes separating the two candidates. But he didn't tell us what votes were remaining, what wards had reported. The details that we do have show Epton doing well in some key wards, though, taking George Dunn's 42nd ward on the Gold Coast with 54% of the vote. And with nearly all the votes counted, Epton is holding a slim lead in the heart of the lakefront, the 43rd ward. So with numbers like that, Epton has reason to be optimistic, unless he's seen more than we've been told.
I'm sorry, Marge, yes, to interrupt you. Let me add here that according to the information I've just been handed, it looks as if Epton doesn't have as much reason to be optimistic as some people might say. NBC and CBS now are joining ABC in tagging Harold Washington as the next mayor of Chicago. It seems likely that, that may be that way. The numbers we have indicate that. There's some questions about the wards that are still out. I think we'll have to leave it at that for the time being and try and regroup, see what we have to say in a few minutes. What do you say?
Epton is on his way down. I'll report back to you as soon as he comes out, and it could be that he's ready to make some kind of definitive statement.
Great. Well, thank you, Marge. A couple of aldermanic races worth noting. On the southwest side, looks as if Alderman Aloysius Majerczyk is a winner, one of the few incumbents to win tonight. On the south side, independent Bobby Rush is claiming the second ward seat, now held by the loser, who is William Barnett, the incumbent. William Barnett, the 46th, let's switch over here to the north side, 46th ward. Charlotte Neufeld and Jerry Orbach are fighting it out. 100% of the vote in, and the 46th ward on the north side. The total shows Orbach leading by just 60 votes. You could look for a recount there. Apparently, the word of declaration of victory for Harold Washington by the two networks that haven't taken a position, NBC and CBS, has just gotten over to Washington headquarters. Going nuts over there. I think we're going to have more to say about this whole thing, certainly before 1 o'clock rolls around, and we'll have some more for you then on some of the suburban races, too.
All right. We've got news people working overtime and census working overtime at WXRT. With Go to the Mirror Boy and XTC Census working overtime. Charlie Morrison is trying to make some sense of all the selection stuff, and he's here with us again in the studio. Charlie.
Working overtime myself.
Yes.
All right. Here's the latest.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that Bernard Epton has indeed gone home, even though some reporters were told, as R. March Halperin was told, that he was going to come down. Apparently, they meant he was going to come down and keep going, and he didn't talk to anyone. He left. He's gone. Harold Washington's supposed to come down to the podium at his headquarters at Donnelly Hall on the south side, not far from McCormick Place, in a few minutes, possibly within the hour. That's the latest information we have. And apparently, anyway, to judge from the expressions of the people at his headquarters and his supporters who have been coming to take the podium there, he is going to make a victory statement, and it will be Mayor Washington of Chicago. All three networks now, ABC, CBS, NBC, are pegging Washington as the winner, and he apparently has, kind of follow through with the theme here, Johnny, the magic touch he will bring with him into office, assuming then that he is the mayor, the next mayor. A number of independent aldermen, Bobby Rush, Perry Hutchinson, Anna Langford, Joseph Kotlars Jr., Patrick O'Connor, Gerald McLaughlin, All of those people defeating either incumbents or people who have been supported by the Democratic machine. To kind of sum up where we are right now, 96% of the precincts reported. Harold Washington leading 52% to 48% for Bernard Epton, about something on the order of 41,000 votes separating the two.
Wow.
We'll have more for you.
Okay. Thank you. You know where you're hearing that, at WXRT Chicago. That he was. Bananarama from their first LP called Deep Sea Skiving. With he was really saying something. We heard Johnny Nash with I Can See Clearly. Now we're going to change categories after Charlie Meyerson tells us more about the election here at WXRT, Chicago's finest rock.
97% of the vote in, 52% for Harold Washington, 48% for Bernard Epton. Neil Parker's on the line saying that Harold Washington is due down, I guess, any minute now. Neil, what's going on?
Charlie, it was about 45 minutes ago that State Senator Dick Newhouse took the podium here at Donnelly Hall, told the crowd, hang tight, folks, 45 minutes, and we'll hear from Congressman Washington. Well, actually, that was about 46 or 47 minutes ago, and still no Congressman Washington, but the crowd is very excited. There's a real edge in this building, and it's expected he'll make his appearance shortly. We don't know if it's going to be a victory statement, but clearly it's an upbeat mood. His aides are optimistic, although they've kind of put most comments on ice, and we don't have any better figures than what you now have, Charlie. It shouldn't be long before we hear from Harold Washington to possibly deliver a victory statement, though it's been one of those up-and-down kind of evenings. Hard to say exactly what we should expect.
Okay, Neil, I imagine we'll hear from you before the hour is up. By the way, folks, the margin between Washington and Epton now is something on the order of 40,000 votes. Just a few percentage points, really. As a matter of fact, 4 percentage points from the total. Bernard Epton has gone home for the night, apparently to mull over some of those figures, some bad news. Marge Halperin is on the line with us now from Epton's headquarters.
Charlie, Epton went home at about midnight, less than an hour after he told his supporters victory was at hand. He did not come down to say goodbye to the group, but left an aide to advise them to go home and wait until tomorrow morning for final results. Epton's final words came as security guards hustled him into the elevator. He told waiting reporters, "It looks grim." Secretary of State Jim Edgar, the Republicans' top vote-getter in November, has been the only one to give us a post-mortem.
It looks pretty pessimistic at this time. I mean, just by the what little is out and the fact, the margin, I think it might get a little closer, but I think it's probably, it would take some miraculous turnaround in some areas that I don't think they expect to have a turnaround in to pull it out. But anything's possible in Chicago politics, as we now know.
So the crowd has thinned out here, and it looks like it's all over for Epton. No word yet on when Epton might meet with reporters in the morning, but we should hear something in the morning anyway. Weeks ago, Epton made plane reservations for a vacation in Florida. He's set to leave at 11 in the morning. He promised us weeks ago that he was definitely going, win or lose, so hopefully we'll hear from him before he takes off. From the Palmer House, I'm Marge Halperin.
Thank you, Marge. I guess they're packing up at Epton headquarters. We'll see. We may not hear from Marge, I guess, until tomorrow. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they stopped that music going.
Yeah, that's quiet there now, and I think it will be from now on. Alderman Ed Radoliak, the Cook County Democratic Party chairman, left the Bismarck Hotel after midnight, offering his congratulations to Washington and pledging the party support for Washington. Although whether he can do it now any more than he did during the primary is something that remains to be seen. Radoliak said he thinks Washington will do a great job, and he said, this is a quote from Radoliak, "We're going to help him." Radoliak will have some new colleagues on the city council: Bobby Rush, Perry Hutchinson, incumbent Eloise Majerczyk has won re-election, Anna Langford defeated incumbent Eloise Barden in the 16th Ward, Joseph Kotlars over incumbent John Marson, Patrick O'Connor defeating incumbent Ivan Rittenberg, Gerald McLaughlin apparently beating Richard Cluess. In the north side, 46th Ward, listen to this. Charlotte Neufeld and Jerry Orbach are fighting it out. 100% of the vote in. The total shows Orbach leading by just 60 votes. Look for a recount there. In Morton Grove, where the controversial handgun ban was the biggest issue in the campaign, the three candidates running for village trustee seats promising to repeal the handgun ban have been defeated. Morton Grove's mayor says voter turnout was much bigger than usual. About two-thirds of the voters turned out instead of the usual half. The village of Willow Springs, southwest of Chicago, so far is overwhelmingly approving a referendum that calls on all elected officials to ban hazardous waste dumping. This is a quote from the resolution, within or adjacent to the village of Willow Springs forever. The vote was more than 1,200 in favor, 19 against. It's kind of hard to vote against that kind of thing. And it looks as if creating a citizens review board, citizens utility board, is an idea whose time has come. It has passed overwhelmingly in referenda in at least 12 Chicago suburbs, including Palos Hills, Rosemont, Hillside, and Oak Lawn. It also passed overwhelmingly in Chicago during the November election. The idea is to create a board to represent citizens' interests in the rate hearings that go before the Illinois Commerce Commission, dealing with how much the utilities charge you. I think that about wraps it up for tonight. We'll see what Harold Washington says, and there will be at least that one more report, and after that, I think the WXRT news team will pack it up.
Yeah, late night edition.
Mm-hmm. Well. But it looks as if we're going to have a Mayor Washington.
Mm.
What more can be said?
That's it, exactly. I'll tell you this right now, we're going to change topics on People's Choice Day. In fact, let's herald that right now. Sorry about the pun. it's this long trumpet fair here. I keep thinking it's going to end. There it goes.
Takes a lot of brass to do something like that.
Yeah, it does. We're looking for rich song, poor song. That's the category this time. So if you can think of any songs that pertain about riches or being poor, 777-8881 is the number, and suggest something. We'll be doing that in a little bit. Right now, these are the Rolling Stones at XRT. Pink Floyd, and the most requested song of this little category we've had going for this hour, Money. Mm-hmm. And Mervo's filled me in on something that I wasn't aware of. Roger Waters of that band is a major stockholder in the insurance company Lloyd's of London. Pretty unique stuff there. We heard Monty Python in the Money program. It's money that they love, it seems. Rye Cooter, the very thing that makes you rich, makes me poor, and Hall & Oates with Rich Girl in the beginning. One more report. It seems as though Harold has got something to tell us, huh?
Yeah, and I think I have very little more to say than the fact that Mayor-elect Harold Washington has spoken. Neil Parker was there and is with us live on the phone. Neil?
Charlie, Donnelly Hall is rocking right now. Only about 8 or 9 minutes ago, Harold Washington finished up his victory statement. He must have thanked this crowd. He must have thanked Chicago well over a dozen times. I lost count. He said, tonight we are here to celebrate a resounding victory. We have fought a good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. He said, we have not included, or not all of Chicago was included in this effort, but he says now is the time to bring all of Chicago together.
Chicago is one city. We must work as one people for our common good and our common goal. Our politics are strong and vigorous, and it indicates that we are on the verge of a vibrant growth and development here. I want to reach out my hand in friendship and fellowship to every living soul in this city. The healing that we seek, the healing we are winning, is economic, is social, and more. It includes justice and love, not just for ourselves as individuals alone, but for all in this city.
Charlie, Harold Washington went on to say that history was made in Chicago tonight. I don't think too many people, regardless of their standing on this matter, would take issue with that. And he pointed out that tomorrow morning he will attend that unity breakfast that was called for a day or two ago. Here, Bernard Epton is expected to be there. And he said now is the time to bring all of Chicago together and to begin the process of unifying Chicago. Quite a scene here. I couldn't begin to estimate the number of people in Donnelly Hall. There is no underestimating their enthusiasm. And I think the party has just begun, despite the hour, Charlie.
Neil, I think I can add something that you might not be aware of. Outside Donnelly Hall, streets and sanitation workers, or at least one streets and sanitation worker, was working a few minutes ago trying to break into the Washington limousine using a Slim Jim, because apparently in all the excitement of getting the candidate into Donnelly Hall, they locked the keys to the limousine inside the limousine.
Well, Charlie, I think that may be the last mix-up, the last logistical problem to confront the Washington campaign, because now the campaign is over.
And so is our coverage for this evening. Thank you very much, Neil. I would like to also thank some of the other people who behind the scenes have been helping us out here at WXRT. Amy Savin, my producer and writer for the evening. Jan Menneker, one of our ace salespersons who's also been helping with some of the tabulation. Marge Halperin, who of course was at Epton headquarters earlier this evening, rendering service with a strep throat or something similar to it, and probably contaminating most of the people there, but doing an excellent job.
And thank you, yourself.
Glad to. I will be back tomorrow morning, assuming my alarm clock goes off, or this morning, later this morning, I should say, assuming my alarm clock goes off.
You should just set up a little bed in the newsroom.
I may. 6:30 a.m. with Wendy Rice, who's filling in for Terry Hemmer.
Yeah.
It's been interesting. There's, of course, the concession speech yet to come from Bernard Epton tomorrow morning, and we hope to bring it all to you here.
It certainly makes the city look good. It bodes well for, you know, all the racial slants that have been coming our way on a national level, so it's a good thing. Anyway, thank you very much, Charlie.
Glad to oblige.
Before I head on out, let me inform you of a few affairs going on in the near future that you might want to partake. Northwestern University's dance program will offer a free master dance class this Thursday evening on the Evanston campus. To register, call 492-3147. There's going to be a free concert by Shoes, 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon at the University of Illinois at Chicago in the Inner Circle at 750 South Halsted. And the Skokie Park District is sponsoring a chess tournament noon Sunday, April 17th. Registration information 674-1500. That's it for me. Chris Heim is next, and it's still the People's Choice, and she'll have some categories for you to suggest songs from or to. And I'll talk to you tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Bye.
Overstepping their bounds?
Well, I think that the changing of the veto is something that's inherent in the executive branch of government. If the legislative branch of government can change it from 4/5 to 3/5, they could also change it or eliminate it. And I don't think that that's the proper separation of the powers.
Wouldn't it also be unusual for the person who makes a ruling to have control over how that ruling could be vetoed?
Well, you see, the authority of a veto is one of the safeguards in the governmental process. I've been the president now for 13 years. I've only exercised the veto twice. Once was 4 years ago when the commissioners gave themselves a 30% increase in pay. And at that point in time, they sued me. And this question was part of the suit, but the court never resolved that question. The only other time that I exercised the veto authority was now when they're doing these things. So there hasn't been any abuse of the use of that responsibility.
Now you're going to the state's attorney, who has been a political ally of yours and who you've endorsed. Can you see any way to keep this out of the political arena?
Well, people can read all kinds of connotations in it. 4 years ago, when this matter was brought up in a lawsuit by a member of the county board, nobody at that point in time said anything about who was allied with who in a political nature. So it's really not that. I don't think that there's anything involved in that at all.
Do you think it might be better to leave this, though, till after the election?
No, I don't think so. I think that we ought to resolve it right away, because there is some election implications in here, because what's going on in the county board is at the direction of Mayor Jane Byrne.